We good? Excellent. Good morning. Okay, some of you are awake. Some of you are still taking a nap from studying from your midterms, I know. Others of you have had all kinds of weeks, but it's good for you to be here, and I'm glad you're here. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, worship team. That was great. It was a good time to just sit and reflect. We've been going through this series over the last couple of weeks, if you guys have been here, where we've gone through the fruit of the Spirit. This list that Paul appears that tells us what to look for in the lives of Christians. These things that should mark out the lives of the followers of Christ. And he goes, you know, and Paul says, above any gifts or any miraculous abilities, these fruit are the things that show that one is in Christ. They're more important. And so we've gone through this list because, as some of you may or may not know, and I could run a quiz on this to see who actually remembers, what's our church theme for the year? And I'm going to disqualify Amina and April right now because they're in deacons meeting, so they hear me and Pastor Enoch say this all the time. Yes, you were also disqualified. The person who lives with me and hears it all the time is disqualified. But anybody else, do you know what our church theme is this year? It's okay. I had to look it up occasionally, too. It's Yeah, it's on the bulletin. Kirsty for the win. It's growing in maturity together in Christ. And so if we're going to grow in maturity, one of the things we need to grow in together is the spiritual fruit. It's these things that are supposed to mark out our lives, that are supposed to show the world that we follow Jesus. And the list has had some of the things you would think would be on it, kindness and love. And we get to one today, though, that gives you a pause when you find it in the list, because today in the list we find goodness. Goodness. Now, when I first read that, I was like, oh, yeah. We're supposed to do good. Of course we are. But I dug a little bit deeper because I'm a pastor and that's what we do. And so I started digging, what do we mean by goodness? Does that mean I'm just supposed to do good things occasionally? That there's some kind of balance in heaven of the good things that I've done versus the bad things that I've done? It's a very common understanding in several religions that what you're doing is trying just to do more good things than you do bad, so that on scale, you know, your good outweighs your bad. Am I just supposed to do good things so that I have this list of things I can say in heaven that I did? You know, am I going to have to stand before God and like a court judge say, well, yeah, I did these bad things, but I did all these other good things. What am I supposed to do? And so I dug deeper. So I did what pastors do sometimes. See, because they made me spend 5 years in school learning Greek. Have any of you ever tried to learn biblical Greek? Anybody? No, don't. It is a complex and tricky language at the best of times. The only thing I've ever found is that's worse is Hebrew, and that's because Hebrew has no vowels and you have to read it backwards. But Greek is something that we learned. And so I went and I pulled out my Greek New Testament and some of the softwares and other things that I have, and I started digging, what is this word in Greek? Which word does he use? And I found something interesting. The word that Paul uses in his letter there for goodness is a specific word, and the word is agathosune. Agathosune. And when you look at it, you find out that that word in Greek is specific to Paul. It occurs exactly 4 times that we know of that it's ever been written down, that we can find in any of the books or records that we have in all of the Greek literature we have. And all 4 of those occurrences are in one of Paul's letters, where he talks about goodness. And it's very specific in its meaning. If you know anything about Greek, they love specificity in their words. These are people who had 5 different words for love just so you could specify which type of love you meant. They had different words for your children so that you could specify which child you were talking about. So it was a different child, there was a different word for talking about your firstborn son rather than your secondborn son. But they love specificity. And this word is very specific. It talks about a goodness that is intrinsic, that isn't just doing good deeds or thinking about doing good things sometimes, but is part of who you are. Where the goodness, the good deeds, and the good actions flow out of the inside of you, out of who you are as a person. Talks about this goodness that is replacing what is naturally there. See, because when you think about it, and I'll even admit my own heart here, we're not very good most of the time. We don't think about doing good things. And if we do, we think about doing them because we want praise or because we want other things. We don't do them because it flows out of who we are. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12, verses 9 to 21. I'm going to read our text for today, and we'll talk a little bit more about that idea. Doing goodness because it's intrinsic to us. I'll give you a second to pull it up on your phones or your Bibles. So in Romans chapter 12, Paul says this, "Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affections. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one for evil with evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine. I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." Paul here goes through this list of what it means to turn from evil and cling to good. What it means to have those good actions flowing out of the inside of your being. And it boils down to a pretty simple teaching that Jesus used to teach in his life, which was, treat everyone the way you would want to be treated. The golden rule of Jesus. Regardless of how they live their lives, treat them the way you'd want to be treated. Treat them with the goodness you would want someone to treat you with in your life. Don't repay evil with evil. Bless those who curse you. Be patient in suffering. Be constant in prayer. Paul says these things, when you do them, overcome evil. And I don't think he was talking about evil in the world. We read this sometimes and we get this idea that what we're overcoming is is the evil out there. I'm going to overcome the evil in the world by doing good. I'm going to see evil out there, and by doing good, I will counteract it. I think here what Paul is talking about is overcoming the evil that's inside us. See, I think what Paul is saying is, you want to grow the fruit of goodness in your life? You need to overcome the evil that is in your human nature. Because human nature is not what Paul wrote there. Human nature is to go, someone did evil to me, I'll do twice as much evil to them. Human nature is to say, I'm afflicted, I'm going to afflict someone else. Human nature is to say, I'm going to take vengeance. Vengeance is mine. Human nature is to say, I'm not going to suffer through persecution. Human nature is to say, I'm going to do whatever is best for me. Human nature is corrupted. The Bible has a word for it. It's sin. I have a word for it. It's called evil. Our nature is evil in its nature. From the day we're born, our desires are selfish and evil. If you doubt that, talk to a mom of a newborn sometime. One of my friends, I was having a conversation with him. He has a child. She's 1.5 now. And we were joking. He said, Ryan, I used to doubt the doctrine of, you know, depravity at birth, because you look at babies and they're so cute and innocent. And he's like, and then I had a child. And he goes, and by the time she was 1 year old, she'd learned several words. But they were all words that mattered to her. Words like mine and no. And he's like, you can see it. Even at that age, she wants to hoard the things that are hers. She doesn't want to share with other kids. You try to take one of her toys and she bonks you. And my mom and I try and do something she doesn't want, she throws a fit. He goes, Ryan, we're evil in our nature. You can see it at 1.5 years old. And it's the truth. When we dig down into the core of who we are, evil. Even when we try and do good sometimes, really, what we're not after is doing good, but about being seen doing good. Right? How many times? Oh, I did something good. I better take a picture on my phone so I can post it to Instagram or Facebook. Let everybody know about the good I did today. Right? You see that all the time. You see these videos. Oh, this is me dropping off stuff at the mission or at the food depot. You know, I saw it last Christmas, this video of this guy dropping off all these turkeys at a place for Christmas dinner for these families. And talking about how he just wanted to do good. And in my heart, all I could think was, liar? You don't want to do good. You want to be seen doing this so that the community will know you're a great businessman and come to you. If you just wanted to do good, you wouldn't need to post a video of it to Facebook. You could just show up, drop off the turkeys, and leave, and no one would have to know what you did. But our nature as humans is evil. We always desire praise. We always desire for us, not others. And so Paul is saying, if you want to grow goodness in your life, you start doing good, you start fighting that nature, and you overcome it with the power of God. You start developing agathosune, that goodness that is intrinsic, that flows out of your inner being, that says, I do good because of who I am, because of the power of God in me, because I am a new creation that has killed that old nature and replaced it with the nature of Christ. See, there's only ever been one person who ever was truly good. And that was Jesus Christ. That was the man who never sinned and yet went to a cross for our sins, who loved his brothers enough to wash their feet, even though he was their teacher. That was the man who had agathosune, that intrinsic goodness flowing out of his every action. And due to his resurrection, we get that within us. He strips away the old human nature, that thing that is corrupted, that isn't good. and he replaces it with his own. And Paul says, if you want to live in that, then you need to help that new nature grow. And you help it grow by listening to it, by doing the things it tells you to do, by learning to be patient in affliction, to be constant in prayer, to not do vengeance, to live peaceably as long as you have an option to, with everyone, to not return evil with evil. And it's hard, because that old nature, he's been there a long time, and he wants to rise up, and he wants to, you know, you get that whisper in your head, hey, I know how you could get back at that person. Hey, I know how you could get revenge. You know, I feel it myself. If I ever want to doubt my own evil human nature, that it's still there down inside myself, I go for a drive. And I let my driving road rage build for a little while. Because I don't want to do good to people on the road. I want to yell at them. And I want to cut this guy off. And that guy cut me off. So now I'm going to swerve around him so that I can get in front of him again, teach him his lesson. And we do these things. Not because they're good, but because the old nature goes, yeah, that's the way to do it. When we stop and when we let the nature of Christ that's in us now define how we act, all of a sudden we learn, no, my job is to repay evil with good. So what does it matter that he cut me off? What does it matter that my neighbor did something I didn't like? How can I repay them with good? We get into this place where we feed that new nature, where we help it grow, where we start to develop an agathosune of our own, just like Jesus had, this intrinsic goodness that flows out of who we are. And it draws people because they know there's something different. Why do you do this? Why do you want to do good to me? I have been your most bitter enemy. I was reading a story the other day. How many of you know it's been 500 years of the Reformation now? Since Martin Luther. So October 31st, Halloween, is also Reformation Day. Best trick-or-treat ever is Martin Luther going to the door of the church in Wittenberg and nailing 95 questions to their door, changing the whole system. But it's been 500 years. And so I was rereading some of the stories of the martyrs of the Anabaptist Revolution, of this change in our own church history. And there's one that stood out to me of a saint of one of our saints. And it's this guy who lives in Boston during the American Revolution. And his name is Hans. And Hans is not a supporter one way or other, really, of either the revolution or the monarchy. He just wants to live in peace. And because of that, one day as he's working, a British loyalist, someone who was loyal to the Queen, asks him to take up arms against the Americans. He says, no, I'm not going to do that. I just want to live in peace. And so the man spits in his face and slaps him and calls him a coward. Hans went back to work. He turned away. 2 days later, Hans got word that this man had been arrested by the American rebel forces, by George Washington's army, which were nearby at Valley Forge. And he got word that the man was going to be executed for being loyal to the British crown. And he thought about the teachings of Jesus for a minute, and so what Hans did is he shut down his shop and he hiked 150 miles to Valley Forge, to where George Washington was, to beg for this man's life. And as he met with Washington, George Washington said to him, this guy's got to be your best friend. What good has this man done you that you would come all this way to beg me for his life? And Hans laughed and said, he is not my friend. In fact, he would count me his most bitter enemy. It said that George Washington paused at this and went, George Washington then released that man into Hans's care as long as he would stay with Hans. Because Hans would come all this way for him. And because he appreciated that Christian love, that agathosune that flowed up from within him that said, I will do good for my enemy. The Bible is full, and our church history is full of men and women who have that intrinsic goodness and how they change the world. See, if we want to overcome evil out there, we need to overcome the evil in our own hearts first. If we want to show the world the power of Christ, we do it by showing them transformed lives of goodness. Not by going, well, we'll do a few good things and they'll see that we feed the poor. Or they'll see that we're helping clothe these people or that we're doing this good. We do it by showing them transformed lives that go, we do this because it's who we are. It's who God's transforming us into. See, because we're not the only people that'll clothe the poor, feed the sick. Everybody does that for someone. But when we do it out of the goodness of our hearts, out of sacrifice, without wanting recognition, without wanting renown, when we do it in a way that shows that there is this goodness just flowing out of who we are, then the world stands up and takes notice. And then it begins to ask what this gospel is that can transform hearts. Would you pray with me? Lord, I think about that term. I think about that agathosune. And I pray you would make it a reality in my own life and in the lives of my brothers and sisters, that there would just be this goodness, this fountain of great joy and goodness flowing up inside me that pours out to those around me, that has me doing good before I even realize what I'm doing. It just says that everything about me is good. Lord, I pray that you would help me have that in my own life and overcome my own evil human nature so that I could be a witness to the rest of the world of what you're capable of doing in a heart and in a life. Father, I pray that for our church, that we would be able to be that light on a hill, that place of goodness that people know there's something different about these folk. There's something different about them. They don't just talk about being good, they are good. They are blessed. And I need to know why. Lord, I pray that we would have that in our own lives as a fruit of the Spirit. And I pray we would be able to show it to the world, that we might draw them to you and to your goodness. Lord, I pray that knowing it is the desire of your heart as well and the call of your gospel. And so I pray it in your strong name. Amen.